Hi, my name is Ella. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Two, suddenly a sound from heaven like a howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house. Where they were sitting, they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. For they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Five, they were pious Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem. Six, they heard this sound and a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. Seven, they were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking in Galangalis, even Galalians, every one of them? Eight, how then can each one of us hear them speaking in our native languages?"
Pentecost, the day that marks and reminds us of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a promise from Jesus that we would not be alone, but would be supported and sustained by an ever-present dwelling of the divine. As we heard in our scripture today, the disciples were gathered together. They were uncertain. They were scared. They were still making sense of Jesus' resurrection, which I totally respect. They were only 50 days in. We've been at it for more than 2,000 years, and we're still trying to make sense of it. Now, as they were gathered, there was a mighty rush of wind and a presence that could only be described as like tongues of fire resting upon those who were there. One of the unique parts of the Pentecost story is that the disciples began to speak in languages other than their own. While some see this as God's way of equipping the disciples for evangelizing, for travel and conversion, I see something more relational. God was connecting people. The first act of the Holy Spirit was to connect across boundaries that had separated. Languages are representative of difference. Geographical, cultural, political, and at that time even economic and religious. And the wind and fire, the Holy Spirit arrived to close those gaps, to be present with and among everyone, regardless of what might separate them. What a powerful presence, and how in character for a God that loves all people. It gives me hope that God's Spirit can and will work through us to overcome historical divides. Pentecost also gives words to the understanding that it is the Spirit that holds us together right now. Wherever you are right now, whenever you might be hearing this, we are connected. When the kids zoom together for Sunday school after worship today, when we pray in little boxes on a screen on Wednesday nights, when we wave from front yards and sidewalks, when we call each other to check in, we are connected and made one, regardless of distance or time. We are made one by the Holy Spirit. Just as it did on the first Pentecost, separations are overcome because ours is a God of relationship. At this very moment, the Spirit is moving, resting upon us and dancing in our hearts. This is God's promise. It is offered by the reassurance of Jesus. It is our hope as a community. Though it may not arrive with tongues of fire, the Spirit makes an entrance into our lives again. Now, those tongues of fire are the reason the color for the day of Pentecost is red. Fire has always carried a deep meaning to humanity, and with it a symbolic sacredness. It was in the burning bush, which was on fire but did not burn up, that the Lord appeared to Moses. It was in a giant pillar of fire that God led the Hebrew people through the desert at night. It is in the flicker of flame that has for thousands of years still adorns altars, reminding us of God's presence. It's the light that's carried in by our acolytes and carried out as a reminder that the Spirit goes with us. That is especially reassuring in moments when we cannot be in the same room together. The fire of Pentecost speaks to its true meaning, that the arrival of God's Spirit means that we carry the divine within us. For all the attention the fire gets, it would be easy to forget the wind, but we mustn't. The moving of the wind, the divine breath, has much to teach us. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach, which means wind or breath. Spirit as breath connects to the story of creation in Genesis when God breathed life into humanity. It connects to the creation image of the wind sweeping over the waters of the deep. Pentecost again invites us to recognize the role and power of the divine breath, to understand that we are carrying that divine breath as a gift from God, that as we move and live and speak, it is the divine breath, the Holy Spirit, that we move with and move in. That from our first breath to our last breath, God is with us, just as God is in every single person with whom we share the collective breath of this world. So right now, just take a deep breath and let a sigh go. Know that the divine Spirit is with you and within you. Understanding the Holy Spirit as breath becomes very challenging in a week when the phrase, "I can't breathe," has made the news again. The week started tough enough. The Central Park Birdwatcher confrontation was troubling, with threats of weaponizing someone's skin color against them. And then, to see the photos and video of George Floyd being suffocated to death, seeing him murdered, it shook me. And it left me wondering. There are moments when the evil of this world is manifested in the killing of black and brown bodies. There are moments after another and another and another example of the evil of this world manifesting in the killing of black and brown bodies has occurred. There are moments when I wonder, what is my place in this? I see Facebook filled with posts and memes and comments and comments to comments and comments to comments to comments, and I wonder, should I post something? Is my opinion wanted or needed? There are comments being posted everywhere. Will I just be noise? Well, yes. Yes, it would be noise. But that is the point. The noise is needed, and not just on Facebook. Our voices are needed in face-to-face conversations. Our voices are needed in letters and phone calls to elected officials. Our voices are needed in chants at rallies and in some very difficult self-talk. The noise is needed. My noise, your noise, all the noise we can generate together, because for the systemic change that must occur alongside the deep personal change that must occur in all of us, the noise must be heard. That change will not happen without the attention that is demanded by noise that can drown out the complacency and comfort of privilege. The noise is needed, and our world has gotten too good at not hearing. Not hearing the cry of how long. Not hearing the passioned laments of not again. We are too good at not hearing when it doesn't suit us. And not hearing what will require us to change. And even when it is heard, it's not listened to. And so in moments such as these, we must listen and then offer our voices and embodied action to join in the chorus. For that is what God has come for. God has come to be present with us in action. The Holy Spirit did not arrive to sit passively by. The Pentecost story is anything but that. The Spirit didn't arrive silently, but came with a rush that demanded attention. So too, we must use our breath in all the ways that we can cry out to make enough noise for the world to listen. We must make enough noise that we will listen. For the Holy Spirit yearns for us to call out, to give voice to the longings and experience of God. Because God is crying out. And God is crying. The Spirit within us calls out as deep cries out to deep. For George Floyd's life and breath were God's life and breath. And his is not the only name we must speak aloud and remember. Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Laquan McDonald, Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray, Philando Castile, Botham Jean, Tatiana Jefferson, Sean Reed, and countless more. These are not just names. They were God's life and breath, embodiments of the divine spirit. And so we must use the breath and life we have been given to carry the refrain, Black Lives Matter. We must use the breath and life we have been given to speak the truth, White supremacy is evil. We must use the breath and life we have been given to have a conversation that those of us who are white are part of a system that benefits us at the expense of others. We must not only name this, we must work to understand the deep layers that make this true. The spirit that we carry in us is a spirit of truth and justice. It is a spirit of righteous love, a spirit of hope and life. And when we pray, come, O Holy Spirit, come, we are asking that we would be filled with such divine presence. A divine presence that will require us to grow and change. That will require us to acknowledge and confess. This Pentecost, we are reminded the Spirit doesn't come easily. But that's more about us than the Spirit. Perhaps I should say the gracious arrival of the Spirit will not make life easier for us. To truly welcome the breath of God requires us to give that Spirit room to move within us that we might grow and change, and in doing so that we might transform the world around us. The gracious arrival of the Spirit does not make life easier for us, but it does move us forward in our work to reflect the love, acceptance, justice, and hope of Jesus. The traditional prayer of Pentecost is an invitation for the Spirit to arrive again. Come, O Holy Spirit, come. A prayer for the divine breath to fill our lives once again. And to pray this prayer is to open ourselves. And so it is with trepidation that I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and fill our hearts and lives, because to receive this divine breath is to accept the call to give it voice and action.